In today's episode, we ask if it's a game, if it's a film, or if it's an interactive VR experience. This is Brain Scan.
That could be kind of like the Nothing Forever. They could do AI playing Deadly Premonition 2 24/7.
That's how we defeat Skynet in the end. It's like, how do we take down this system? Make it play Deadly Premonition 2 and it just deletes itself rather than do it.
Yeah. Going down, melting in the lava with a thumbs down instead.
Wow, it's scary how much to think about that game affects reality. You know what other game affected reality? Brain Scan. Hi.
You said game? Josh.
It's perhaps the ultimate game, Mike. The deadliest game, one might say.
Yeah, but we're talking about the movie.
That's true. We are talking about the movie Brain Scan today here on Funsphere Movie Club. I already said my name was Josh. I have high hopes that you two have very unique names here. I'm wondering which one's going to come up with which one first.
I forgot all of their names. So
I'm the trickster.
I'm...
Yes,
oh, God
JJ
damn it.
Has got it. All right.
Oh, God.
Well, and since Mike, do you have a nickname?
No, I'll just be Mike today.
Okay. Well, since unfortunately Samantha is not with us here again, I will just say she probably would have called herself Igor and said, Telephone Master.
Oh, the technology.
Like, the technology. So for folks that do not know, we are talking about Brain Scan, which is a 1994 American science fiction slasher film. Directed by John Flynn, the film stars Edward Furlong, Frank Langella, I think that's Langella, maybe, I can't remember that, Amy Hargraves, Jamie Marsh, and T. Ryder Smith. And the plot involves a young man suffering from, I guess we'll just say, post-traumatic stress disorder, who finds his escape in horror films and video games, and he is presented with the opportunity to try the newest. Would you call it a game, or would you call it a film?
Ooh.
A virtual reality experiment.
I would call it VR more than anything.
Okay. So,
because he's not actually playing anything. He just... gets triggered and then has hallucinations.
Yeah, I mean, even the phone call calling Brain Scan triggered him. So yeah, what is it?
It's an interactive experience.
That's true. So that is the subject of the film, and then we see several things. We're not gonna get too far into the plot because I'm sure we're gonna talk about it. But it is an interesting film. This one comes to us from JJ. So, JJ, tell us about your experience with the film, how you found out about it, and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about this movie in the 90s when it came out. But the reason why I was just on YouTube a couple years ago and stumbled across it, how nuts this movie was. And I was like, I've got to see this. I didn't know anything about it. And, yeah, just started just looking things up about it. And then, listening to the music from it, and cause I thought it was George Clinton and it's George S. Clinton. So it's not the George Clinton I knew, But the little haunting theme song that they have in the very beginning, like the piano playing, I was like, I know that song from somewhere. And it just so happens it was from Mystic Styles, 3-6 Mafia's first album. Yeah, so song number 10, I won't say the cuss word, but effing with this click. Click, yeah. Yeah, so that was, I was like, it's so good. It's so good. And anywho, yeah, so I thought, I've got to watch this movie. I have to watch it. And yeah, after watching it, so I was probably like in my 30s, I'd say, when I watched it. And I streamed it on YouTube or something. It was just on, and I watched it that way. And that's, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's how I stumbled across it. It wasn't like anything I saw in the video store or anything like that.
Okay. Gotcha. Let's just see here. Mike, had you ever heard of this film before?
No. And I actually enjoyed this one a lot more than the other suggestion we had, which we'll get into later.
Okay.
I was pretty impressed with the quality, like lots of good shots. All like the technology for them, it seems like they probably spent a good amount of money.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, it looked really good for the time. It was a cool premise. I'm looking at the trivia and this it's insane. It says, director John Flynn did not get along with Edward Furlong during filming. He later recalled, Edward Furlong was a 15-year-old kid who couldn't act. You had to slap him awake every morning. I don't want to get into knocking people, but I was not a big Eddie Furlong fan.
I actually just read that too. Now,
the meanest thing.
Yeah. Especially since this is like post-Terminator 2 Edward Furlong too, so... To say he can't act is a real shot. Wow. Vicious. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was a little campy, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I think it was the right amount of campy, personally. I'll also mention that I was unfamiliar with this, and this definitely seems like something that would have been on like late night USA on like Friday night, Saturday night. And I'll just say going into it, I was getting like watching the preview that you sent us and stuff like that. It's like, is this going to be like Lawnmower Man? Like, are we going to be trying to do that level of VR stuff? Which... I got to say, this is definitely way better than Lawnmower Man. Also, way better than the Lawnmower Man video game, which for some reason I rented several times as a child, but that's neither here nor there.
Can you imagine them making this a video game? What would it even be?
I don't know.
A handwritten note? Grab the knife.
So I was reading some other trivia too. Apparently this started back in like this initial script was written in 1987 and the original idea was it centered around VHS tapes. Since it was like going into the 90s and the CD-ROM boom was just happening, I even looked up, Mike mentioned the technology. They did a good job of it, like investigating and stuff. Yeah, like this was like right around the time when CD-ROMs were literally starting to take over the gaming industry. Sega CD came out late 92. The 3DO was out in 93, and I remember how hyped that thing was.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was one of the systems that had the first edition of Super Street Fighter you could play. It was available for that for a little bit of time. And then actually after this game came out, or this film, excuse me, came out was when the PlayStation 1 came out. So they were definitely like really aware of the modern technology at the time. Although there's definitely some leaps and bounds in computer technology they're showing. I don't think they had the ability to just talk to your computer and make it dial telephone numbers at the time. Could be wrong. I'm sure someone did. And also apparently I couldn't tell if they were trying to insinuate that the kid was a computer genius of some sort or was just like super loaded, because he did have like racks and racks of like high end electronics. Like they could have explained that and been like, oh yeah, his dad's in the technology business and this is just stuff from his work or something like that. But I don't know.
Also, he loves his milk.
He sure does.
Milk and grilled chicken. Or like, what kind of dinner was that?
Yeah, I guess. Seriously.
Yeah. No. So also looking at it like having all that stuff, mother passed away because of the car accident, which we haven't mentioned yet. So maybe we should wait for that. But, you know, his dad calling, I'm not in town. So is it one of those things like, I remember watching like the movie, The Toy, you know, the parents are never there, but it's okay because he has everything that he needs. And he you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I can see that. Or like if there, I think it was sort of implying like his dad's just super busy at work because it's how he's dealing with the grief. Mm-hmm. So he leaves him alone because he's just throwing himself into the work because of what happened and all that stuff. Yeah. So I guess let's get into the plot. So yeah, we get that set up that he's injured and he kind of limps because of his knee injury he got in the automobile accident. I gotta say, it definitely started out super strong. Like that was a pretty intense first part of the film. It's like showing this grisly, you know, wreck, and then the kid's going through surgery and like how jarring that stuff is. And then it just it gets into the plot pretty quickly, I think, for a movie that was like an hour 10, maybe, although it sometimes felt like it was running for 3 hours. It's like, yeah, let's get it. We're going to get quickly to what this kid's established into. Like, he likes his horror movies. He likes The Girl Next Door, which I've got something to say about that in a little bit.
His club gets canceled. Or paused, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got something to say about that, too. So, yeah.
Me too. Me too.
Gosh.
Okay. All right. So, let's just skip ahead till he gets the first disc, which, of course, shows up in the mail. He didn't order it. He didn't pay for it, but it shows up, and he's promised the, like, ultimate fear experience. And so then we go into this, like, the first person like murder scene. He spoiler alert, he commits a murder by playing this game, and he has a time frame that's apparently, like, I don't know if you could speed run this murder or not, but that would be something that's like, it's hinted that something bad will happen should the timer expire, but they never actually tell you what that is, or it never pops up. So that happens. The kid, Michael, thinks that's the kid's name is Michael, not Armor.
I just assumed that timer was how much of the game was left.
Yeah. Or, like, not to spoil it, I guess go ahead and spoil it later. Just... Like maybe if the timer expires, you snap out of the trance. That was the other thing I thought maybe it's implied. Mm. But it doesn't really... All right, so after the first game, the first one, he gets there's a murder in their small neighborhood, which they think is all really weird. The second game shows up, or the second version of the game shows up, and is this when the trickster shows up or not? Like midway through it, I can't remember it. Is it after the second one's completed or? After the first one.
So I think it was after the first one. Didn't they show the download screen when he started playing and it showed like the trickster's face? But then he comes into the real world after the second one to let him know what he's doing.
Oh, that's right. That's right. 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 Because he tells him there was a witness and that's why he's got to take care of that in the second game. Okay. Geez, this is kind of like hard to go through the plot. So the second murder victim is Michael's best friend, Kyle. Because he was the witness, quote-unquote, of the game. And actually, this is one thing I really liked is they did kind of like a monkey's paw explanation for it. It's like, yeah, he didn't actually witness the crime, but he knows you, and he knows you have the game. So if they discover the game, he'll then become a witness to how you got it and how you were playing it. So that becomes, he becomes a witness in a weird, twisted, roundabout way. And I thought that was a good way to make him keep playing the game, is like twisting all the logic of every mission or scenario or something like that. Let's see here. Cause it's like they, I think it's the third one. He's like, yeah, you have to, you don't have to kill anyone in this one, but you have to delete the evidence of a crime, a footprint. But you don't have to kill anybody. And then he inadvertently ends up killing him, killing somebody in self-defense. And Michael gets super pissed about it, but he's like, you didn't have to kill him. That wasn't your objective. It was like, you just inadvertently killed him in self-defense. And, you know, people die because of the stuff you're doing. That's not your fault. You didn't technically kill anyone. So that's twisted.
So, but let's just go back to killing the witness. His friend was a complete goon. Funny kid.
Yes.
But just seems like he would have been like, oh, you killed someone. That's kind of cool. Like, I don't think it would have been a problem. Like, I think that was the first part of the movie that, you know, because he was a part of the murder, or I guess the movie club. What movie were they watching? Yeah. Death. Part two.
Part two. Electric Boogaloo.
I think he would have been on board. He's like, oh, you actually killed somebody? Yeah, that's, I think he would have loved it.
Well, their relationship just seems like something out of Tim and Eric, too. Like, love you, bud. You're my best friend forever. Best friends forever.
Yeah. And yeah, why, because, oh, that's right, because because Michael got the souvenir from the first.
Yes.
That's right. And then he put it on top of the Stouffer's. It's like, what's going on?
Or the Swansons.
Oh, the Swansons, yeah. It's like, it'll be safe here on top of my mic. That's probably why he spit all that milk out. But, yeah, why? And then, well, okay. Listen, yeah, and then the accidental death, which goes back into the very end of the movie. Because this movie is, I think the idea of it could have been great. I mean, if you're bringing in video games, think about around that time, Freddy Krueger was kind of on the down. It's like, imagine the trickster being able to jump in any type of video game. Imagine, you know, the next movie could have been about Rad Racer. And the trickster's you're in the car with you, trying to make you go faster or something. You know, it could have been unlimited, bringing a guy like that into the video game system to make you do crazy things. Because if you compare it to now, it would have been like, oh, these are just NPCs that you killed, but, you know, not quite. And then, you know, how the movie ends. Yeah, but, you know, I'll let you explain that, Josh. But really, yeah, I think the potential of this movie could have been a lot bigger. Instead of a guy coming to your dreams and killing you like Freddy Krueger or Jason just hunting you, people playing video games and getting tricked by the trickster.
Yep. All right. And so go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. So we'll get to the last. So I think it's something to mention is that the trickster always gives him the option of, you don't have to play the next game. You don't necessarily have to play it. You'll go to jail and be convicted of murder if you don't play it. Like, but you don't have to. So kind of the final disc, we'll just call it, shows up. And the trickster's like, look, this is the last one you got to do. You just got to get rid of one more witness. And you know who this witness is. And she actually did witness something. It's his next door neighbor / love interest, Kimberly. And then, in the middle of this, Michael's like, I'm not going to kill her, blah, 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 trickster, you can't get me. And he's like, haven't you figured it out yet? And he's like, I'm you the whole time. Now let's use some bad early 90s CGI to kind of like merge us before we then just use practical effects and makeup to make it implied that we're the same person. But then there is the game over scenario that happens, kind of, because by failing to kill Kimberly, the trickster is true to his word, and the detective that's been hunting the serial killer this entire time happens to just be right outside the door, and the trickster, the door opens, he comes in, he shoots Michael, and then we jump cut to him waking up, and the whole thing has been a dream slash the first part of the game the entire time, which is also leads to one of my favorite little parts of the film, because the trickster then is narrating to be like, we understand this game might be a little intensive for you, so we have some mental relaxation techniques to help you like acclimate yourself back out of the game. And they're like doing it dead serious, which is just hilarious. I'll say that total cop-out ending. It sort of works as like, you know, a game over, so you get to restart back at the scenario. But something that really confused me on the first watch, and I didn't watch it a second time, but I don't know why I said it like I had watched it a second time, but I was planning to go back and check this morning, but I didn't. It almost like seemed to imply to me like it reset after the first murder, but I'm probably not remembering that. And then reading it, it appears that it's resets the entire scenario. So even the first murder didn't happen. Or did it? Because the film ends by Michael giving the very first game disc away. Especially after Kyle gives him a warning. It's like, yeah, they did some, there was a news article or something about that game. It's like, it really messes with your head. So he gives it to the principal, who wants to like pre-screen all the films that he wants to show the movie club and stuff like that. And he's like, I'll give it to him. Because it seems to be implying like he'll never watch it or he'll never approve it. But the trickster grins at him in approval. And then it, we have one of the very first like post credit scenes I guess would have been around the time of 1994, of all of a sudden the dog shows up with the first victim's severed foot, and apparently dumps it on Michael's yard. So it's implying again that maybe he doesn't get away with murder, or maybe he'll be framed or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. They also, there are a few things that blend the reality with the experiment that make you question, like, did it really go on? Like, whenever he's back in reality and he asks Kimberly out.
Yeah.
And then he finds those pictures that he saw in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which...
But that you. He knew they were there. Yeah. But then for them to be in reality, it's a, ooh.
Yeah, especially with the, like, there's definitely a voyeuristic, theme in this film, because Michael is voyeuristic about Kimberly. He watches her across the way through a video camera and stuff like that. But the part that kind of freaks me out is it almost implies that she's also, like, very voyeuristic of him, because she takes photographs of him, like, when he's unexpected. So it's, I don't know, is it trying to, like, was that presented just to, like, normalize his actions? Or is it, like, implying, like you mentioned,
that's their kink. Yeah. They like watching each other.
I'm not shaming. I'm just, like, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, so to your point, I think, yeah, just to normalize Michael, and the fact that if they had a sequel, like, she could have been just as bad if they wanted to bring her back. You know, she's weird too. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. No.
Or like the point the trickster kept making was like this urge to be a killer, to see through the killer's eyes is in everyone. So maybe that was another thing they were trying to semi implies that it, even though we've seen Michael and all the twisted stuff he's into, because honestly his movies and video games are pretty tame by today's standards, especially the drive and stuff like that he keeps implying that he has, he implies that everyone has it. And the end of the film kind of implies it too, because if we know that this world got reset to before the first murder, that implies then that the principal committed the first murder.
Oh, playing the game.
Because he played the game.
Ooh.
Or he screened it. Yeah.
But how good of a person is Michael that he's like, I know this caused a kid to have an aneurysm. I'm going to give it to my principal. And then there's a go to the point where it's like, all right, he is the trickster. You know, to that point, like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So he's killing people intentionally.
It implies is maybe his hands aren't as clean as we expect. Like, I think he, like, especially like since he somewhat becomes like, oh, gee, golly, wow, I'm so glad I went through that experience and I got that out of my system and I never have to do that again. Like, he becomes, aw, shucks, like, my best friend's back alive. I love you, pal. You know, it's so good to see you. And it's like, you're being weird and stuff like that. He's like, I'm going to get the courage to ask that girl out that I've always wanted, which I was struggling with. So, like, he gets the good ending, but it does beg the question, by giving it away instead of, like, destroying it or something like that, is he just as capable or culpable for the murders to happen? Because it seems like the whole scenario is going to restart. And I don't know. Maybe it was real the whole time.
Can it be destroyed, though?
Wait, doesn't it imply that he burned one? Yeah. He tried to burn one of the discs or the notes, and then the trickster spins it on his finger. I remember that, yeah.
Like a Harlem Globetrotter.
I just looked at the trailer this morning again, and you know how they introduced it. You know, I don't even know the guy's name, but I'll just say John Smith as the trickster, introducing John Smith. Like they really wanted the trickster to be the next big bad guy. I mean, he had the no, it just didn't work. No,
he's so. Here's going to be
he really does look like just a combination of a bunch of 80s and 90s.
Like a little bit of Drop Dead Fred.
Horror villains.
A little Drop Dead Fred, a little Alice Cooper, which there's a big Alice Cooper thing on the side of the fridge.
And a ton of freaking Aerosmith posters.
Yes.
Yeah, too many Aerosmith posters, yeah.
I will say the soundtrack of this film is actually pretty good. It's got Primus and White Zombie, let's see. I'm looking at the Butthole Surfers, Mudhoney.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned George S. Clinton, excuse me.
Or George Clinton, depending on how you read it.
George Clinton, if you're nasty. I was going to say, I was mentioning the trickster. So this is going to be such a weird pull. Like, I thought he was a mixture of Freddy Krueger for sure. And then, oh my God, what is the name of that film? It's the one where Howie Mandel.
Oh, Little Monsters.
Yes, Little Monsters. Yeah, he's a mixture of Little Monsters and Freddy Krueger. Because, like, he just does all this annoying stuff. Like, he eats his food and he just, like, taunts him. And so it's like, it also never gives us the early on, of course, that the, like we assume that he's attached to the game somehow instead of just being the, some sort of psychosis that the character Michael has. So I don't know, but he's really completely harmless when it comes down to it.
Yeah. He spins CD-ROMs on his fingers for crying out loud.
He puts a Primus CD in the CD player and then jumps around on the bed a little bit. He's like, again, this is one of those, I call it the unrealistic kid room, because it has like all this very unique furniture, like the chair that's, you can definitely tell is custom designed and would cost like $30,000 even in 1994 to make. And you know, he's got all these great television setups and stuff like that. And all the posters on the wall. I was like, yeah, I understand people like posters. They don't like them that much. They don't have every square inch of their household covered in posters.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's like 90s rich. Like,
yeah.
He has a straight up microwave in his bedroom. You know,
a full size refrigerator and maybe even like a full size kitchenette upstairs. Like, he's got it all. It's the attic bedroom that is somehow three times the size of the entire house and has plenty of room, and you're not ducking under rafters and stuff like that. It's just, I like.
Well, I mean, in a different movie where you can have a microwave in the 1700s.
Yes.
But I don't think it's too much of a stretch down.
It has a stretched limo too, Mike. Listen.
Yeah. We'll get to that. There's a lot to say that about that other 1994 film we'll be talking about shortly. So I will say this. I think this is when for the dig at Furlong's acting, I think this was when he was really starting to have his slide with drugs. So I think it definitely shows in certain parts of the film. I don't want to call this a bad movie. I don't think it's bad. I think it's definitely like Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon, good horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's right in the fun sphere wheelhouse for films.
Well, I can see what they were trying to do, but overall, were they trying to say video games are bad? Or it's just what you make out of them? You know, like, no, because around that time, we're still banning video games. You had the game rating system come through. And yep. So now,
right around that time.
Yeah, let's watch a movie about you playing a video game and killing people, you know? And
I want to give this film it actually makes a pretty good poignant argument when he's dragged into the principal's office right after the film. He's like, does it encourage violence to watch violent films? Like, they're having that literal discussion, which of course there's been tons of research on, and the answer is no, it does not. They actually point out really well, this is just pure escapism, that it's, you know, it doesn't actually harm anyone to watch these type of things or things like that.
Right. I mean, they were saying about the movie club, no problems there, no problems with the video game, but he still gave the game to him. Like, no disclaimer, nothing. And then the trickster's in the chair like, good job.
Yeah. Well,
did you guys know that the trickster was Sander Cohen in Bioshock?
No, really?
That's nuts.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Maybe we've all been tricked playing Bioshock. That's awesome.
What do you want to bet that Ken Levine gave him that role because of this movie?
I bet you're probably right.
We need to look 100%. That up. Yeah.
We got to get the trickster.
Didn't even call him by his real name at all.
I mean, that is the perfect role in Bioshock for the trickster.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm trying to remember. Is that the artist? Or the...
That you kill in the theater.
Yeah. Okay. Well, especially since he was a stage actor. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Oh. I gotta say, though, the poster of this film, like, it's definitely, like, freaky. I also think it's really funny they've only got, like, Edward Furlong as a tiny little person in the bottom of the screen for brain scan. An interactive trip to hell. Want to play? I dare you. Good poster. I like it. I'm not 90s kid rich, but maybe it'll be another poster. Maybe I'll put up in the recording studio we've got, my spare office room. Oh, it's great. Okay. So surprisingly, this does not apparently have any sequels. Even Lawnmower Man 2 got a sequel.
God.
I'm looking at the... I'm just looking at it. I just saw some of the other films the director directed. Apparently, he's been a director since like the 60s. That's really weird. I thought it would have been like some unknown that directed this, but apparently not. We got anything else to say about this film? Or I definitely think it's a recommendation. I think it's an interesting enough film to watch on a rainy Saturday afternoon. What about you guys?
I suggested it, so I really think everyone should watch this movie. I had a good time watching it. The music's great. There's a lot of weird plot holes to it, but that's fine.
Same. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I think it should have been more well known than it is.
I'm actually
it seems like it just
that,
disappeared
too.
In the ether.
Yeah. It. I agree with that entirely, Mike. This is one of those ones you think would be a little more cult classic-y, but no. It seems to literally just... It appeared, it made $4.3 million, apparently, at the box office. It doesn't say how much it cost to make, but just was made and gone. Wow. I think it's sort of refreshing that a film doesn't want to have to launch a cinematic universe anymore. basically, you can't make it unless you're going to make like a new film nowadays, unless you're going to make it 17 films, a Netflix series, a limited edition
line of toys.
Yeah. And you know what else I had a thought of during this? I was like, how did this not get a Saturday morning cartoon a la like Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, right.
Yeah, it's like you have, you know, Michael and the Trickster.
Or Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
Toxic Crusaders.
Oh, yeah. I was like, how did they not have a film where it's just like a cartoon show where him and the Trickster are playing another game and getting into all kinds of wacky trouble and stuff like that? But
they just become best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Not like I'm trying to kill you or made you commit murders or anything like that. And
well, let us know when you get the Trickster, Joker, and Bellatro, and maybe that's an unlockable.
Oh, I think it actually is. I think there is one called the Trickster. Doesn't make you do this, but you know. All right. If we don't have anything left to say, I guess we'll call it here, and we'll see you on the next episode, folks. Bye.
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 Goodbye, master.